Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Curveball Mother Nature served up to the great state of Texas in particular. Not that other people aren't getting dumped on when it comes to nasty, rainy, sleet, and snow, but no state has suffered the kind of outages that Texas has. We'll jaw about that. Plus, Trump bites back over comments that Mitch McConnell made after the president was acquitted on Saturday of the one article in the impeachment process on the Senate floor. Plus, it is all about what's next, and we'll talk about what's next when it comes to COVID-19. The White House is going to send 13.5 million vaccine doses a week to states. Have you gotten yours, or do you say, no thanks, ma'am? I'm keeping my sleeves rolled down. Kate Delaney, happy to be here as always and thrilled that you're on board with all of us, or at least you're stopping by this show. So let's talk about the horrible thing that's going on in Texas. When I say horrible, I mean millions are struggling without power, and it's deadly cold where you have single digits. If you're lucky, it's 19 degrees, depending on where it is. So 20 storm-related deaths. So far, traffic accidents in Texas, but not just Texas, Kentucky, Missouri. The hardest hit, though, again, freezing conditions, utility companies implementing rotating blackouts. A woman and a young girl died from carbon monoxide poisoning. People that are getting it, the numbers are starting to climb because they're panicked. They can't get warm. They're sitting in a car. They don't know that you can't do that, and they're trying to generate heat. And are they getting the word that that's happening? No, because they have no power. So it has been nasty. I mean, it has been really, really nasty. I mean, when you're talking about 3.2 million people without power. And then to boot, outside of Texas, the winter storm spawned at least four tornadoes in one coastal area in North Carolina, killed three people, injured 10 more, 50 homes crushed because of that. Power lines damaged, power outages, that whole same thing. But it's not about that. It's about life, and it's about life everywhere. And if you go to, you can go to poweroutage.us. It's a site that tracks it. And again, in Texas, you have more than 3 million residential, commercial, and industrial customers without electricity. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, again, single digits. Lucky if it's 19, it is snowing. So the upside is, by the weekend, it'll be warmer. This burns off. But there's still days in between to get to that. And there's going to be lots of damage done to pipes. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be looking into ways to counteract what happened this time around with the weather. And you always get back from the people that you talk to when you make these fast and furious phone calls. We understand, but this never happens here. But it happened 10 years ago and then 10 years before that. So it's never an argument when you're not weatherized. And so there's some people that have some explaining to do, let's put it that way. Hey, in Chicago, I feel you. They're expecting to see 14 inches of snow before the end of the cold snap. There's been flight cancellations, of course. And then in New York, and people listening to us in Connecticut and in the Philly area, you know, you're talking about sleet, ice, freezing, rain. And we thought 2020 was so awful, and we're still dealing with the pandemic. So you add that into the mix of what's happening with vaccine sites and vaccine doses in some areas, afraid because of the power outages. that they would go bad, the doses. People that happened to be around got lucky and got shots in many cases, which I think is better than not having the vaccine go to somebody who wants it. So good for anybody who was able to get a vaccine in a not so great situation, because that's what happens. You know, the expiration date, so to speak, is going to go out, and if you're there, you can get the vaccine. I know somebody that was with their mother who was in their late 70s, she got the vaccine, and they said, hey, this is almost out, and we got to get rid of some of these vaccines. And the person was 30, healthy, they got the vaccine. So by maneuvering the system, getting their mother in, who should have legitimately gotten in, they weren't going to throw it away, so they benefited from that. 488,000 people, according to John Hopkins data, have died in the U.S. from COVID. 27.8 million cases is what we're looking at right now. For worldwide deaths, 2.42 million, 109 million cases. And it's the same thing. I mean, we're looking at what are the variants doing. We're looking at places where it's getting better. We're looking at places that are opening up more because, again, you're still weighing the economic repercussions of it. And the whole invisibility of COVID, I think, is what is so tough for especially younger people to understand, right? When we talk about not being at a super spreader event or doing some easy common things like social distancing. I mean, frankly, I have seen in my community, which is a very big community, people being really good about that. I mean, having conversations, but putting on a mask or being distanced. It's turned out to be that people are watching out for other people because we're tired of being in the middle of all of this and want to get out of it desperately. But there's so many questions still that are not answered about the virus that, frankly, I don't care how brilliant a doctor is, there's things that doctors and scientists just don't know at this point. Some of it is, okay, so you get the vaccine, and does that mean if you're vaccinated, you're around people who aren't vaccinated? Could you possibly have been carrying COVID? Could you get COVID, give it to them? What about the variants? Will that be warded off from the vaccine that you're getting? The thought is that it's much better, and it would combat that, but there's no definites. Although we've seen deaths falling to the slowest pace since November, so that's a really good thing. Anything that pushes us back and sees the death rate recede and where we can actually be full on out to whatever our new reality is, seeing that pace drop off and the predictions that it'll drop off in the next 4 weeks is a good thing, right? The nation's expected to have about 12,000 plus deaths in the week ending March 13th. And this is the forecasting they're doing based on models that we have out there right now. But that toll would be a drop of 43% from the 22,062 deaths reported last week. So that's good. And the vaccine rollout is still in early stages, just 4.5% of Americans having received the required two doses. That info from the Bloomberg vaccine tracker, but we're seeing people be much better, like I said, with social distancing and everything else in between, which is very, very good. Oh, I feel a mic drop coming on. Woo, stay with us.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Want to dominate the stock market in 2021? Looking for higher profit potential? With the COVID vaccines, the shifting political landscape, and a new year, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how. Make 2021 your year. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
A lot of chocolate products are sold during Valentine's weekend and really in February, besides October when you have Halloween. And people who don't even celebrate, they, you know, it's in your face. You go to the store and you buy more candy. So even if you weren't celebrating Valentine's Day, a lot of people pick up the candy deals and end up eating more candy than they would normally eat. But what if you are a vegan? So check this out. I mean, look, there's lots of health food stores you can go to, from a Sprouts to a Whole Foods. Make sure you bring a very big wallet when you go to Whole Foods. But I never thought that I would see a Kit Kat bar that is a vegan Kit Kat bar. But sure enough, it's happening. Yes, make sure when you pick up your Kit Kat, if you are a vegan, well, congratulations, you can try it. But the new vegan Kit Kat is called Kit Kat V, and it's certified. And so now I guess there's this thing where it's certified vegan. It's made from 100% sustainable cocoa, but they didn't really tell us what they were subbing for the non-fat milk used in their traditional milk chocolate bars. But they have used rice oat, soy, coconut, pea, and almonds for other plant-based offerings. So this is going to use, apparently, some sort of a rice-based milk substitute. And it was actually created in the UK. We have so many people on from the UK sometimes in our author's corner, where Nestle's confection researchers tried to make a vegan version of that iconic bar that would live up to the high expectations of Kit Kat lovers everywhere. Are you a Kit Kat certified taster? Have you tasted the vegan bar? Oh, I wonder if they would send me some. So they, you know, Nestle has things like ice cream, coffee creamers, rice and oat-based drinks, blah, blah, blah. But this new Kit Kat V-Bar is going to be rolled out in England to start, and then they're going to look at trying to do it in the U.S. So if I got you excited and you're a vegan and you thought, oh, I'm running out to go get a Kit Kat bar, think again. You're going to have to wait for that. But they plan on rolling it out anyway. So, I don't know, Kit Kat bar, vegan bar? I'm going to have to say it. Like, I kind of dropped the mic on that one. Chocolate going plant-based, right? Nothing, everything can be manipulated to fit the tastes and the demands of whatever is out there. That is the world we live in. I just think, would Willy Wonka have a vegan version of chocolate in the factory? Someday we'll be reading children's stories to youngsters and we'll be saying, and the vegan Kit Kat bar was the golden ticket. I don't know. Now, another thing I was thinking about, you could, if you were vegan and you could get these Kit Kat bars and all your plant-based food or whatever it is, then, of course, the other things that you would take along with you, what's become very big now. And it's not just it's funny how the pandemic has taken from one area and given to another area. So things have taken off in the culture that were just something you didn't think about. And what's really big right now is van life. If you do hashtag van life, all kinds of things will pop up. And what's happened is people are converting vans for life on the road because they're tired of being cramped up in one area. So what if you could just wake up in different areas, right? And you could have your office with you, have your bed, have whatever it is that you need, and you take these vans and you convert it so that you can hit the road maybe even a little bit more permanently. And, you know, they're popping up on, like, Craigslist and other places where they're retrofitting vans, and people are spending money on upgrades where they have bathroom equipment, shelving, bedding, water gear, you know, all that kind of thing that you would need. And of course, the first thing I think of is if you're working, you got to have a mobile hotspot for Wi-Fi, right? So you'd have to be able to put yourself in a place where you could have that. And I guess you could find out where that is, because listen, some people have lost their homes and they're reducing income. So in some ways, by doing this van thing, it's actually working for people. So it's either become like a luxury deal for some people, or it's become a thing of, hey, we can do this. So we can go and see all these places and we want to travel, but we're in a pandemic and there's still, you know, places we could see. So what if we had kind of a nomadic life and made that a choice, right? But here's the thing. If you do choose hashtag van life, and I just saw a big thing on maybe USA Today, something I read today. If you do choose that, sometimes these vans are not super, by the time they're retrofitted for all this stuff, I mean, it can cost you like 50 grand. But if that's what you're living in, and you don't have other money that you have to pay toward a mortgage or some kind of rent somewhere or something else, and this is what you're investing in and this is what you're doing, I mean, that's like, talk about the ultimate do-it-yourself project, though, in a way. But if you feel cramped now because of the pandemic, imagine having all of this, even if it looked great, you made it look really nice, and you still are taking a small space, though, and converting it. And you would get to see, I guess you would get to go see some cool places, and there you would be in your van, and so part of that would be kind of cool. But then I would say, if you could afford it, then that would be an RV. But an RV would be so much more than what a van would be. But you would have a little more space, right? I mean, ultimately, if this is the way you went, because what, a 60 square foot space? And then again, that's the place where you would also be working. Boy, you'd be really close, I would think. That would be a way to get close to your significant other, that's for sure. But seriously, a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are deciding that's the route to go. I, for one, it's like somebody was talking to me the other day about, because this is what you're all talking about too, right? Where's the first place you're going to go when really everything is lifted? Where's the first place you're going to go? And I don't think anyone in this audience is going to necessarily scream out, Disney World! But some people, and it's clever of them, I guess, some people are already getting their packages to Disney World because that's the first place they're going to go. I mean, frankly, I don't want to see the Disney characters when the fog lifts. I'm not looking for that. Really, honestly, I'm thinking, just imagine kicking back somewhere where it's wide open, right? And you're on a beach, or you're on a mountaintop somewhere, and there still is, it's weird because you could still have sort of that intended seclusion, but then you could go to the brewery and have people around you, but you'd still have nature and views and something you hadn't seen. But I don't know. I think that might be the route for me. It might not be your route. So when it all lifts, where would you go? Don't say Disney World. Don't tell me Disney World. I did have somebody email me and say Disney World. I get it if you have like lots of grandchildren and you want to see them and that's like your big thing. Okay. All right, coming up, we have We Can Count, which of course is all about the numbers. And then plus, Dr. Suzanne Walter is going to join us at the tail end of the hour. And she is a doctor in South Africa, just outside of Johannesburg. And one of the things when you're a doctor there that you have to do is you have to do a thing called community service. And they have a term where they pitch you out, meaning you're pitched out. You're out working. And you have to go into some of these areas that are unbelievably ill-equipped, of course, poverty-stricken, ill-equipped for medicines, treating people. I mean, unimaginable things are happening to so many people that it's still going on, where they can't get the drugs they need. And she talks about how sad it is and what it's like as far as being rewarding, though, to get in and help a community. So hang with us.
10. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Millions in Texas were without power on Tuesday as a powerful winter storm brought several inches of snow, ice, and dangerously cold temperatures. overwhelming the power grid with demand for heat and electricity. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the state has opened hundreds of warming centers for residents without power. He tells Fox News about the other steps being taken to recover from the storm.
We have the National Guard deployed across the state, as well as the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Texas Transportation Division, even Texas Parks and Wildlife, working with local officials to make sure that our fellow Texans, they will be taken care of during this trying time. But our same goal at the same time is to make sure that we have ERCOT working around the clock, as well as working with the energy generators to make sure they get the energy back online so people can get back in their homes and get back to normal as quickly as possible.
This is USA Radio News. In his first town hall since taking office, President Joe Biden addressed his administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic, telling CNN that a vaccination will be available for every American that wants it this summer.
By the end of July of this year, when we came into office, there was only 50 million doses that are available. We have now, by the end of July, we'll have over 600 million doses, enough to vaccinate every single American.
Biden also clarified his stance on school reopening, telling the Milwaukee town hall that he wants to get the majority of K through 8 schools reopened 5 days a week by the end of his first 100 days in office. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki had previously said the administration's goal was having half of U.S. schools open for in-person learning at least 1 day a week. And the top women's seed at the Australian Open is out, as 25th-seeded Carolina Mukova defeated Ashley Barty 1-6, 6-3, 6-2, ending Barty's quest to become the first Australian woman to win a title in Melbourne since 1978. Mukova will play in her first career Grand Slam semifinal. This is USA Radio News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage. But even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Topping this edition of We Can Count has to be the weather. Wow. The misery brought on by the start of the week, by the record-breaking winter storm in Texas especially, where so many people are without power, over 4 million people. It's still being worked on. Some people are getting power intermittently, and then it goes away. And you see selfies and pictures all over the place on social media of people dressed like they're going to take a ski lift somewhere, but it's not that. They're in their home, so it's really scary what's happened and infuriating so many people when it comes to the electric company and what's going on with the power grid, etc. In fact, you look at flights too. Dallas-Fort Worth led the entire world, people, the entire world in cancellations and flight delays as of late in the afternoon on Tuesday. Nationwide, there were more than 2,800 flight cancellations, more than 1,300 delays. So many of those focused on Dallas, but also Austin, Nashville, Houston. Really, really, really terrible. Southwest had the most cancellations of any airline in the world. And, of course, it's going to be that way because of the weather and then this ice storm that's coming, too. So with the airlines canceling nearly 1,800 flights, like I mentioned, including 400 on American, and with the airport, some of them saying they're going to stay open, like DFW and Nashville, they're still warning people to check, because more flights might be canceled or even delayed. I mean, heck, it was minus two degrees. 121-year-old record matched at DFW. And it was so bad that the area rapid train, they call it the DART, the commuter train, they said they're suspending service until Thursday. They're not going to mess around with it. Like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, 4 million homes and businesses without power early on Tuesday, and it's still happening. Temperatures are dipping into the single digits overnight. You have problems in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. Roads are hazardous, and it's pretty, pretty slick, and they're warning people. There have already been some terrible accidents. So this massive storm that was forecast to continue is, you know, moving across the Midwest and the Northeast and bringing snow to there, sleet, freezing rain, just nothing but Mother Nature throwing a pile of nasty at all of us. In fact, it's interesting because I love Chicago. I have lots and lots of family and friends in Illinois, and I've talked about it before. I've talked about speaking there and how great it is. And not so great now, though, when you're looking at the lake, and it doesn't even, you can't even tell it's the lake. You know, wait, is that Lake Michigan? What's going on there? And then they're talking about 16 inches of snow in some places. So we don't want to forget the Midwest. And yes, you might be used to cold temperatures and lots of feet of snow, but it's still pretty, pretty bad. And then you think of the South and North Carolina, 3 people dead, 10 people injured because of a tornado. Just minimal warning, spawned across the edge of the same weather system that's bringing this cold weather to the rest of the U.S. And, you know, there it goes. And that's always, to me, the scariest thing is funnel clouds. And did I know much about funnel clouds growing up in the Northeast? No. But when I worked in Kearney, Nebraska, and spent so much time in the Midwest, I learned, and in Tornado Alley, I learned a lot about what to do and what happens. And the, always the problem is not much warning. And then all of a sudden, it's on top of you. And sadly, where are you going? All right, Tuesday is special. Normally, you know, we'd be talking about Fat Tuesday, New Orleans, and all the big celebrations. I love, love, love that the people, and I said this on a previous show, have gotten together, so many in New Orleans, and are turning their front of their homes into floats, like look like floats. They're decorated so that people can do drive-bys and can feel like they can still have sort of a little Mardi Gras, although it's quite chilly too. Not quite like what's happening in Texas, but, you know, it's wonderful what they've done. And I can't say enough about the power of community. I mean, that's what it's about. Somebody comes up with the idea, then it spreads, and then more people decide, you know what, we're going to figure out a way, we're going to decorate in our homes. And some of the homes are incredible. So canceled parades, closed bars because of the pandemic, signs of celebration, a little tiny bit, just a few revelers, if you will, strolling casually down the French Quarter, and some residents handing out trinkets to people looking at decorated house floats, which, again, bravo on the ingenuity of the people of New Orleans. You can't keep them down, that's for sure. All right, so the storm, I think, is really just tops everything when it comes to numbers, when it comes to looking at records and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But COVID also is the other thing that we're talking about in this country. And I always say this show is about that. What's buzzing in my backyard and yours? What will we talk about no matter where we're from or what our accent is, right? So we've got more than 27.7 million confirmed cases, coronavirus cases, and 487,000 deaths plus. This is from Johns Hopkins University. That's where I get the data from. And the global totals, more than 109.3 million cases, 2.4 million deaths, more than 71.6 million, I know, this is numbers, we can count, 71.6 million vaccine doses have been distributed in the U.S., and about 55.2 million have been administered. That's from the CDC. All right, because of the pandemic, here's some interesting stories related to the pandemic. Here's my favorite story, because it just shows you that when you want to do it and you power yourself up and you get the energy, it doesn't matter what age you are. And I guess it goes more to it doesn't matter what age you are. Fran Goldman, 90 years old. 90 years old. A foot of snow. She wants to get her vaccine. She has a vaccine appointment. She walked 6 miles round trip for her vaccine on Sunday. And she was so proud because she said, oh, I was only 5 minutes late. And when her daughter was asked about it, she said, oh, we're outside people. Outside people? 90 years old. Are you kidding? The other complains when he has to walk the dog 2 miles. I mean, heck, I complain in this weather. But 90 to go and get the vaccine, it just goes to show you where there's a will, there's a way. Speaking of that, 1 year into the pandemic, millions of N95 masks, which everybody was talking about in the beginning. I had one, and I remember so many people were asking me, where did you get it? How did you get that? But they're pouring out of the U.S. factories and heading into storage, but there still aren't enough going to hospitals. And believe me, if someone would have taken my one lonely mask, I would have given it to them. But that's a problem because frontline workers need the protection. And, you know, we're hearing about doing the double masking and whatnot. But the one that gives you, the mask gives you the most protection, of course, is the N95. I talked about Valentine's Day and the fact that some people would have taken cruises and cruise lines are, you know, just chomping at the bit to go to sea. And there's a lot of people that want to be on those floating boats. But the parent company of Norwegian Cruise Line, Oceana Cruises and Region 7 Seas Cruises, they canceled sailing until June. They're trying to work through a return to service plan to meet the requirements, because there's going to be requirements from the CDC as to what you can do, etc. And we know it's like a floating petri dish. As I know, people talk about cruises as the best thing ever, but think about the norovirus and other things that have happened to people at sea. So you are there with all the other people, trusting that they're gonna take care. And I think that's obviously the thing when we talk about how do you get around. Not get around, but how do you deal with the protocols? Here's some good news. If you're in this situation because you're unemployed or underemployed or whatever it might be, the president is extending a ban on home foreclosures for federally backed mortgages by 3 months and expanding a mortgage relief program to provide that obvious relief for families struggling financially in the middle of this pandemic. I mean, that's the worst. What do we do? How do we pay the mortgage? It's not like we can run out and throw darts at a dartboard and pick up some sidebar easy gig. And I think that's a good thing. So it's a couple of months relief, and it goes to the situation that we know so many of our friends and family find themselves in, and maybe some of us find ourselves in that situation, right? You've got all kinds of things that are rolling in that you have to pay, and it's a matter of economics, what's coming in and what's going out, period. I mean, that's it. All right, something else that I think is incredibly interesting to look at. We also talked about this the other day on the show, Bitcoin, and how serious you take Bitcoin. Bitcoin's price broke above 50,000 for the first time in history on Tuesday. So it's really rallying, and part of that is because of these companies that are kind of warming up to cryptocurrencies. The digital currency by market value rose 3%. That's that all-time high that I mentioned. So 3% is a lot. And even if it starts to fall back, which it will, Bitcoin has gotten a lot of boost from firms like Tesla and MasterCard because they're showing support for it. Tesla last week said that they had bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, and they're going to accept the digital coin as payment for its products. MasterCard is saying it's going to open up its network to some digital currencies. Check this out. PayPal, BNY Mellon, they've also made moves to support cryptocurrency, too, as well. And I think Tesla, especially Elon Musk's company, saying that they were going to do it, taking corporate cash to buy Bitcoin. That's just showing, will other companies do that? Are other companies going to jump in that high and do that? You know, there's been a bubble in the past. There's lots of speculation about it. It's really exciting to watch and see what happens with Bitcoin. There's still a lot of skeptics that see it as a speculative asset and say it might be one of the biggest market bubbles in history because they say Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have no intrinsic value. All right, on that note, we're going to turn it over to a woman in South Africa coming up next who will blow your mind what she did to help a community. So stay with us. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
South Africa, this time around in Author's Corner, for a conversation with Dr. Suzanne Walter. She's written a book that will really open your eyes, Where Bubbles Meet, A Doctor's Journey Through Community. Dr. Walter, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So we talked about off the air what the community was like that you journeyed into. Tell us about how you came up with this book and the journey that you went on when you went into the community to help people who were in rural areas and were underserved, obviously.
Well, this experience is something that we all have to encounter in South Africa to train as a doctor. We aren't only exposed to private medicine. We have to encounter under-resourced private public sectors, which are rural and really quite poor areas. So part of that training is to go and do a year's community service, we call it. And when I started doing it, I thought to myself, I'd love to keep a journal, just like a diary, just to remember what I was seeing from day to day. And I wrote this down merely as intended, as a diary, but somebody got to read the diary and said we should really try and publish it as a book, and that's how it became published. The title, Where Bubbles Meet, was one of the last parts of the book that I had worked out, And it was really about how I exist in one bubble within my life, being privileged, being of my culture, being of my pedigree, compared to just 10 kilometers down the road, the person who is living in a hut and literally selling off their medication so that they can feed their family. So it was about merging my bubble into their bubble and understanding what their life was about. And it was a very, very enriching experience and process for me.
One of the things that you and I talked about that I thought was so interesting, and I can only imagine how difficult, is the same year that you were journeying to the communities was 2010, and it was the World Cup, and there was a huge strike, too, as well, as you told me about, in and around Johannesburg. So what did that do? How difficult did that make it for you to get to the people?
It was very, very difficult because it was a public sector strike, obviously over money and salaries. But what was happening is we were trying to get into these clinics in the under-resourced areas, and people who did try to pitch up to work were being threatened, and some were having their houses burnt down because they pitched up to work. And the one day I pitched up at one of my clinics and the security officer came to me and said, Dr. Sue, they're planning to torch your car today. I think you should leave. So I did. I left. But as I drove away, I saw in my rearview mirror this row of patients waiting down the road, some of them on crutches, some of them very old and frail, and I could do nothing to help them. The clinic was closed.
Wow.
And in other parts, we had doctors who were hurt. They were, the one chap was put into a tin can, a big dustbin can, and they tried to set him alight because he had pitched up to work.
Wow.
And they threatened to torch my car twice. So, and what made that so difficult is, I mean, most people would say, well, then just don't go to work. But on the other hand, we were told if we didn't pitch to work, we would be fired. So you make such an effort to pitch up to work only to be told that you're going to be attacked that day and you must leave.
And that had to be sad.
It's terrible because there's so many patients that are relying on you and that really, really need your help, and you just drive away from the situation.
Yeah. The other thing that, you know, we talked about is, so when you can help these patients, the other roadblock was the availability of drugs, right?
Yes. Yes, very under-resourced. So in all these clinics, we'd have little tiny dispensaries, so it wouldn't be a room. It would merely be a little metal cupboard that had a little key or a padlock attached. And inside these cupboards, you would find very basic medicines. We would maybe have one or two antibiotics, and we would often have paracetamol, but not a lot. And patients with cancers and heart failure, liver failure, kidney failure were pitching up. You can't treat them with penicillin, I'm afraid. So there was often times we'd have to turn patients away because we couldn't actually give them the medicine that they required. And then on the other hand, for HIV/AIDS, our patients would come once a month to collect their medicines, and we would obviously trust that they go home and they're taking the medicine. But one of the components of the medicine of HIV is a drug called efavirenz. And now efavirenz, if you crush it and smoke it, it's an hallucinogenic drug. So we found that a lot of patients were coming in on a monthly basis to collect their drugs, but they were merely collecting it so that they could sell it to somebody else in the community so that they could feed their families. So this was also very disheartening to know.
Boy, I bet. We're speaking to Dr. Suzanne Walter, and the name of her book, Where Bubbles Meet, A Doctor's Journey Through Community. For all the people that are listening to us, what do you hope they take away from reading your book?
I think it would be so lovely to just have everybody just accept that there are other bubbles around them. And just to, even by reading the book, just to encounter what those bubbles are about, even if it's just for a moment, because I think it would foster a kindness and a deeper understanding of those people that we live with, the different cultures, the diversity, the languages, the different religions. And hopefully it would help us to be less judgmental of others and more appreciative of what we have.
Oh, so well said. And speaking of appreciation, for you, despite everything that you had to go through, including having your life threatened, ultimately, was it a rewarding experience?
Absolutely. It's an experience that I would never not want to go through. I'm not saying that I'd rush to go through it again, but I'm very privileged and honored to have gone through that experience, to learn how wonderful these other communities are. And that is one thing, Kate, that those communities stick together. They really are amazing. They really help each other, and they define the word community.
I like that. And so you learned from that, I'm sure. Do you think it made you a better doctor?
I hope so. I hope that in understanding others, it has helped me to be a better doctor. I'm currently not doing community service now. This was in 2010, but I'm currently working as a palliative doctor, so I treat the terminally ill. And I also find that I am encountering all types of bubbles, be it from the very affluent, privileged classes right down to the rural townships and shanty towns. So my experience does continue, and it is an absolute blessing and a privilege to have that.
Yeah, I bet. And then that experience opened your eyes to those bubbles that you talk about. That's why that's such a powerful title, Where Bubbles Meet. And as we're sitting here talking, there are people in bubbles all over the world, all kinds of bubbles. And do you think sometimes when those bubbles burst, it makes you a more compassionate person because you realize how other people live and what they go through?
I think that is true, Kate. I think that we often are too nervous to even encounter another bubble. We would rather turn our eyes away and not look at it. But when it's forced, I think it does really open someone's eyes, and it has to make someone more compassionate. You can't, I'm sure that just being human being, you would have to have some kind of compassion to see those other bubbles.
Well, what a book and what a journey. Where Bubbles Meet, A Doctor's Journey Through Community, Dr. Suzanne Walter. You can get it on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. Thanks so much for sharing your journey.
Thank you, Kate. It's been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening to our conversation and this hour of the show. Remember, make it count and think about those bubbles.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.